Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout to come join us, come and learn with us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and hear the amazing podcast. There's so much information out there, but unfortunately, we're not getting all the details that we need to. So we try to do that in the show, and it's really been a work of God through us. So today we have our special guest. We just love Don Wildman, our co-host from all the way in California. Hi, Don.
Hi, Diana. How are you today?
Oh, I'm feeling better since God has given me a word last night. And, of course, we've got our patriot pastor, Garrett Lear, that we've missed from New Hampshire. Hi, Pastor Lear.
He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6:8, we will have no other king but King Jesus. Good to be with you again.
Oh, Pastor Lynn, did I just hear David sing? But what a beautiful voice. Thank you, Pastor Lear, and the words are awesome. And I want to turn this over to our own Pastor Wayne here. We just love Pastor Wayne. And Pastor Wayne, if you don't mind, I'm going to let you start us with getting it on the right foundation with a prayer.
All right. Be pleased to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we come before you today, we just humbly stand before your throne of grace and mercy and ask Almighty God that you pour your love, your grace, and mercy over us, Lord. We ask that we might empty ourselves today, that you might fill us with your Holy Spirit. For Father God, as we go forth in this broadcast, we know the responsibility we have before you. For as we speak in your name, we are held accountable for everything we say in your name. So, Lord, we ask that we empty ourselves, that you might fill us, and that the words we speak not be our words, but be the words you would have us speak. They be your words. Let us become your mouthpiece on this earth, that we might speak forth your word in truth, holiness, righteousness, and yes, love. Father God, let us do everything, not out of hatred of evil, but for love of what is good. And Lord, let that love shine through. And Lord, let our words go forth as seeds planted in the hearts of those who are listening that might take root in good ground and shoot forth and grow good fruit, Lord, and bear a bounteous harvest in these last days, Father God. Lord, we pray that we be a light, a shining city on a hill to show forth in the darkness and dispel the gloom and the doom and the evil that is in this world. Lord, let the light dispel darkness, Father, this day, that once more our country may be one nation under God. In Jesus' name we pray and we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Pastor Wayne. What an awesome prayer before our Almighty God. And just really don't know how to do today's show because I'm just really so grateful for those that are present with us. But I'd like to just say what God has shared with me last night. I was asking him for a word, and I was questioning in my mind because, you know, we see a lot of evil going on, and they're coming after the kids like a, you know, just like a wave. And God gave me Habakkuk, and I'm not so good at pronouncing that, but I understood. You know, it was so encouraging to know that God knows my very thoughts, my every thought, and he calmed me down, and, you know, he's telling me he is going to do a great and mighty thing. So put my faith and trust on him and wait upon him. But then just now I thought, well, I'll read that and tell y'all, but then I'm looking at the word that God has given me today, which is 1 Samuel 17. And I just love this because I don't know if it's you that has said this over and over again where David says, is there not a cause? And I think we have a, you know, it's just wonderful. Again, the encouragement when we see little David having such a big faith and a big, big Almighty
Amen.
God. So with that, I'm just encouraged. And so I'm going to turn it over to you first, if you don't mind, Pastor Lear, and just, you know, tell us what's in your heart. Because you've been watching to and fro what's going on across the country. I shared a little bit about Alabama. I didn't know we had a king in Alabama, but apparently our Senator Pro Tem, Dale Marsh, sees himself as a king, has the audacity to tell us that he could not wrap his head around Common Core, and that he has not focused on it because he's got all those other issues he's focusing on. So children first, apparently it's not first in his focus. And so, you know, he does not study the bill and hasn't researched enough, so he's going to pull it off the table and not let our entire Senate vote on it, which is a very, very sad to us. And, of course, you know, a slap in the face to Heritage Foundation who came here, Lindsey Burke, to tell the Republicans, such as him, what is behind Common Core, and he walks out on that meeting. So with that in mind, Pastor Lear, go
well,
ahead.
Of course. I've just come through a couple of very important weeks here in New England, and particularly in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, and also, of course, the other New England states as we celebrate Patriots Day, and, of course, the Boston Marathon, what happened. When that happened, I was actually leading a color guard unit marching across the Concord Bridge. In Concord, Massachusetts, you know, and had been on the Lexington Green praying the night before and that night as well, where the birthplace of American liberty. I mean, so all of this ties into the fact that why were the people fighting at Concord Bridge? Why were they fighting the good Minutemen militia, patriots? Why were they fighting there? They were not fighting just for themselves. They said, we're doing this not only for ourselves, but for our posterity. So whenever we mention that word posterity, people don't realize that our children are our posterity. What is more precious to me or to any of us who love our children and our grandchildren? What's more precious than their lives? And, of course, to have them stolen from us. And once again, I mean, the king, the divine right king, has reared his head again, just like with George III. Because tyranny is not a political issue as much as it's a sin issue. It's a Satan and sin issue from the Garden of Eden forward to what we read about in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, and or Babel, as some would say, with Nimrod trying to control people, trying to say, I know better than you do.
Right.
taking away the parental rights to make decisions about how your children will be educated and all these draconian measures that are politicized where doctors and pediatricians are being told not to let the parents know what the children are doing, young girls being able to go out and get some very, very strong medications that can disrupt their bodies for the rest of their lives, and encouraging them in illicit sex and all kind of things like that. This is the enemy's way of destroying the heritage of our country, weakening our country. But it goes really back to the destruction of mankind, of Satan wanting to destroy. What's the best creation that God, our Heavenly Father, ever made? Well, he made us in his image. So the enemy comes along, and he's not going to give up until he has to give up. So we see the carnage there in Boston and, of course, other things that have happened across the country. And people are shocked. And it's so important. And I was thinking before the broadcast, I mean, the way, Miss Diana, you said how the Lord dropped a word in your heart. Well, the Lord dropped a word in my heart, too, from 1 Chronicles chapter 12 at verse 30. Of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous men throughout their father's house. Of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 who were designated by name to come and make David king. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war with all weapons of war, stout-hearted men who could keep ranks. We need, and I see because of the news media, we've got so many battles going on so many fronts. People are running around. They're repeating things that are they don't even know are true. I mean, forever trying to put fires out, saying, "Wait a minute, how do you know? Were you there?" Well, we as Christians, we are not supposed to be carrying gossip. We're not supposed to be carrying rumors. People are doing it all the time. It's like everybody fights to be the first one to say some sensational thing. And I ask them, "Where did you get that information from? Were you there? Did you see this happen?" Because we have a lot of confusion and anarchy going on. See, the tyranny, in a sense, is anarchy. When a man sets himself up in the place of God, we know that's blasphemy, but it's a type of anarchy. And we're seeing a lot of that, whether it be senators, whether it be governors, or, yes, the person calling himself the President of the United States in his present behavior. All of these things are anarchistic because they're all against King Jesus. I had a debate with somebody. I mean, he picked the wrong person to cross swords with. I always tell people, you want to cross swords? I'm ready. But it's not going to be pretty for you, because I'm prepared, just like those of the sons of Issachar and Zebulun and so forth and so on. I know how to do this. And this man said to me, "Well, the book of Revelation, where are you getting this King Jesus stuff from?" I said, "Well, how about in the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and 19? He said, "Oh, the book of Revelation is a lie. It's not true." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "You know what? Do you really want to go there?" This man's name was Don. I said, "Don, you really want to go there? I will tear you up." And then I said, "Okay, well, you don't believe the book of Revelation? Well, how about when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate? And Pontius Pilate said, 'Are you a king?' And Jesus didn't say, 'Oh, no, I'm not a king. Of course I'm not a king.' He said, 'You have said so. But my kingdom is not of this earth.'" And this is what we've got to get across to people. Pick the battles that the Lord is sending you to. And many are into trivial pursuit, things that we get all flustered about that we're not going to be able to do anything about. You're talking about the issue of Common Core and all these other things going across. This Saturday, right in the little town in New Hampshire that I live in, Van Jones is coming to town, to this little town. They're going to the town.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Coming to this little town in New Hampshire that, at best, this time of year until summer, we double our population as a resort area, but 4,000 people, and they're coming here to this town. Why are they doing that? Because, first of all, they got the money to do it. And one thing we've got to do is defund every bogus thing that we can. Because as long as they have the money to do it, they'll keep doing their treachery. And it's to get a hold of the children so that they never will know who they are, who created them, and what our government is about. And see, the issue is the Republican form of government. I'm sitting here on my desk as the Declaration Resolves of the First Continental Congress, October 14, 1777, talking about the consent of the governed. How huge that is in all the world. You mean people could consent to a government or not and abolish a government and reform another one? That's what's in our Declaration. Well, naturally, tyrants want to destroy that, and most people do not know this. But the Howe brothers, General Howe and Admiral Howe, sent emissaries to George Washington saying, you know, we can end this war. And make a long story short here, basically Roger Sherman and Benjamin Franklin went, and this is what the Howe brothers said. All you have to do to end this right now, what's the sense of more blood and more treasure being put out? We can end this right now, just give us the Declaration of American Independence with wedding signatures. You see? Because the Declaration of American Independence is a declaration of dependence on Almighty God.
Mm.
And these tyrants don't want us depending on God. They want us to depend on them.
Mm.
And I will never do it. No one will make me do it. No one can do it to me. No one's going to force me to do it. I stood there on Lexington Green on April 19th, 2013 for last 25 years I've been there. I had a little period of time where I wasn't there because I was in other parts of the country doing things, and you know, 25 years of growing up time there. At 8:15 a.m. on the 19th of April, on that place that is called the birthplace of American liberty, the shot heard round the world. Well, we're still fighting again. We're fighting in Alabama. There's not a state in this union. They just approved same-sex marriage in Rhode Island yesterday. We have no state where we're not fighting. All 50 states, we are fighting, fighting, and fighting. But we better know what battles we need to fight first and foremost.
Well, Pastor Lear, I like the reminder, you know, of the Declaration. Yes, we are dependent on Almighty God, and that's the best place to be. That's the place we need to always be, and sometimes maybe we forget. And Don, you know, we're fighting in this pretty big, and you're one of those that have been really rallying people all over the country, and you're seeing it as a God movement, I think. But let me get you to go ahead and make a comment or a question to our dear patriot, Pastor Garrett Lear.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Lear, you're absolutely right, and, you know, I will always say that. That's a great thing about this show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All I get to do is reaffirm how great everybody else is. You know, and I think you make a really great, strong point, too, about we really have to pick our battles. There is so much happening all at once that, you know, it's amazing. The devil is totally working overtime in this country, and it feels so frustrating. There's probably no day that goes by where I don't feel frustrated at all the things that are happening to dismantle this republic. And it feels like, I think, for those of us that are fighting, that, you know, I think we really want to do justice for those that founded this country and on the principles that they did, because it wasn't just let's put a government together. It was so deliberative. It was so completely if there was definitely one thing they all agreed on, it was the place of God in the founding of our government and the going forward of this nation. And though they were different men from different backgrounds, from different even religious affiliations, you know, they bent on their knees together. They prayed together. They spent a lot of time talking about how to make this nation basically a great experiment. What happens if you actually have the freedom and the liberty, and you have the ability to have free expression and free practice of one's religion openly? What happens when we give the power to the people in the government? What happens? And for over 200 years, you know, we saw that what happens is, oh, guess what? A free people succeeds. A free people gets on bended knee. A free people, you know, appreciates it. Now, the sad truth is that we also took it for granted. And we haven't been on bended knee for a long time. And so this is the wake-up.
Well, I think those are some excellent, excellent points, Don, because I was in the old burying ground, the video is out, and did a service there, and I said, folks, the Lord doesn't want a riot, but he definitely wants a revolution. And he definitely wants us to have, as some people would say, well, what number Great Awakening would this be? I don't know. Is it, you know, we know it's not the first, it's not the second, maybe it's the third, maybe it's the fourth, maybe it's the fifth. It doesn't make any difference what number it is. We definitely need it. And one of the things that's so important, and I appreciate when you said about, you know, people being frustrated and getting tired, fatigue can make cowards out of us all. And so we have to pace ourselves. I mean, anybody who's an athlete understands this, and anyone that has been in war understands this. If you get yourself exhausted, then that's when fear creeps in. And, of course, we know the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. He's given us the spirit of what I use as an acronym, PLS, power, love, and a sound mind. Whenever we're not walking in power, whenever we're not walking in love, whenever we're not walking in a sound mind, we know that didn't come from the Lord. That's the only way the enemy can strip off our armor, like we would say in Ephesians chapter 6, that full dress armor of God, because it is a spiritual war. And so we have to also recognize, you know, I think of Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show of his handiwork. We cannot lose except if we give up. That's when we lose, and we're not going to give up. And I've had to tell this to people, and I learned this even when I was in the Army and when I was in the military academy. We used to do some macho kind of stuff, okay? I'm not necessarily endorsing it. I'm just saying, you know, a bunch of alpha males get together. We're doing some macho type stuff like we used to do Slugfest. And what we used to do is, you know, we stick out your middle knuckle and you make a fist and then try to get the guy right on his tricep, you know, where it hurt. I found that guys didn't want to do it with me anymore, you know, with that, because I learned this from reading a book about Daniel Boone, that he laughed the bar to death. You know, he wrestled a bear and he laughed him to death. He grinned him. He called, how did you beat that? How did you kill that bear? Oh, I grinned him. So I learned that if I laughed in the face of the enemy, that made him very weak. You know, they'd slug me and they'd slug me. The next day I'd have a hematoma on my arm about the size of a grapefruit. And man, it hurt. But I wouldn't let them know that. I'd just look at them and smile and laugh at them. Say, that's the best you can do? Is that the best you can do? And see, we have to look at that and laugh at the enemy, remembering, as Psalm 23 says, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And the enemy wants to cast a big shadow, but a shadow is nothing to be afraid of. And so I'm calling upon Christians, and you said it, Don, just a few minutes ago, you know, to be on their knees. In fact, better yet, get on your faces. You know, prostrate on the floor, on your face before Almighty God, saying, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I can't be victorious in anything but with you. And you look at Romans chapter 8 in the last part of that chapter, that we are more than conquerors. And if you read through that, all the way through the end of the chapter, it lists just about every possible thing that could happen to you in life. And yet, even still, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And so I'm finding more joy. I'm finding more excitement. I mean, some people are saying, what's the matter, Garrett? Are you weird? The worse things get, the more joyful you get. I said, well, I have no delusions about the fact I can't solve any problems. You know, Somebody said, well, how many people did you save last week? Well, actually, last week I didn't go out in front of the abortion mill, so I can't say I saved any babies from death directly in that way. But I said, I can't save anybody. I'm not a lifeguard anymore. I was when I was a teenager and a dive master and everything, but I can't save anybody. I can't even save myself. Only Jesus can save me, and I believe that Jesus loves this republic. I know for sure he loves all the people in this republic, even some of those weird leftist, communist, socialist, fascist, megalomaniac tyrants. Jesus even loves them, and they're not going to get away with it. No tyrant has ever gotten away with their tyranny ad infinitum. Every one of them has been brought down.
I'm reminded, you know, listening, that, you know, going to Revelation, it says, woe be unto you who dwell in the earth, for Satan is amongst you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. And, you know, you talk about the devil's working like he's never worked before. Well, he knows he has but a short time. And, you know, it does seem like there's a full court press. And sometimes we do seem like we're surrounded on all sides. We don't know where to shoot. But you know, I'm an old paratrooper. I'm trained to fight surrounded. And I was thinking when you were in the conversation talking about choosing your battlegrounds.
When you're surrounded, you know where the enemy is.
That's
at all times when you're surrounded. We got them now.
We can shoot anywhere. That's right. We're surrounded. We can shoot anywhere. They've only got one direction. We can shoot anywhere and hit something. And that's an old paratrooper of 101st by Stone.
I am one too.
Airborne all the way and then some. And that's if you could take that attitude and also understand this, that our boss outranks theirs was talking about it the other day. You know, I was getting into a debate with somebody who is heavy in the witchcraft and the occult, and he's trying to be intimidating me. I says, well, you don't intimidate me because my boss outranks yours.
That's right.
And if we understand, if the church can get a hold of the authority we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, there would be no fear or quaking, because as James says, you believe there's one God, you do well, for the demons also believe and tremble. And if we could understand the power we have, it's why the enemy is so afraid of us. It's why the media, they give the Buddhists a pass. They give the Hindus a pass. They give, you know, you can worship, you know, a tree stump and you're okay. They fear the Muslims because the Muslims will blow you up if you look at them cross-eyed. But the ones they really hate are the Christians. And there's a spiritual thing in that, because, you know, when I was reading all alternative religions and spiritism when I was a young man, it seemed to me that all these mediums and all these spiritual guides took particular pains to tear down the Bible and Christian beliefs. And the question came in my mind, why? Why so much attention to Christianity? If you believe in Satan and God, if you believe in good and evil, why are these alternative things paying so much attention to Jesus, tearing him down, virtually ignoring Buddha and the rest? There must be, because maybe Christianity is the way, the truth, and the light.
Well, you know, and we were trained as soldiers to recognize whenever that you're in enemy territory, you're going to get fired on.
That's
because
right.
Because you've discovered where the enemy is. And, you know, when the planes are flying over and the anti-aircraft guns are firing, well, why are they firing? Because you've just found the target.
That's
and
right.
So the thing is, what I'm trying to encourage, Pastor Wayne, is all of our brethren, don't be afraid. Fear is not of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Stand
exactly
up.
Exactly right.
State your case. Don't be mean or whatever else. And recognize the fact. Really know who Jesus is. Who is Jesus of the Bible? When I make the statement, and it's starting to catch on, but it's catching on way too slowly, when I say, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. That has not caught on the way I thought it would so many years ago when I started saying that. I thought that would catch on like wildfire across this country for every Christian. Every Christian in America would start their day by saying, I love you, King Jesus.
Amen.
But it hasn't happened. It's like people are ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the only hope for mankind. And I said this A lot of times I speak at patriot organizations, and there are people there that are atheists. There are people that are agnostics, and I tell them, you know what? You're not a good patriot in America. You might be in some other country, but in this country, nobody is truly a patriot who is an atheist. Or we expect somebody to be somebody who would take their oath of office and keep it when they're a Muslim or when they're a Hindu or they're a Buddhist. There's no such thing in their tradition. But in our lives as Christians, the Lord has told us very emphatically in his word, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay.
Amen.
See? And so all the stuff that really is important, you know, I get very disappointed when people are naysaying about the Tea Party movement. I said, why do you not want we the people to come out, get off the sofa, and come out and participate in this experiment in self-government? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Instead of encouraging, no, stay home, we'll take care of it. Yeah, you'll take care of it. I'll tell you what, the inmates are in charge of the asylum most of the time, you know, because they're so, megalomaniacs get out of their mind. People that think that they can tell everyone else to, what to do as if they really know that, they're always going to make those kind of mistakes because they're not in the place of humility where the Lord wants them to be as leaders. And we do need our leaders, there's no doubt about it. But we need people that lead from a place of righteousness, not from a place of corruption. You know, who's,
and the
who
idea
wants to,
with the servant's heart, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want somebody up there who's, you know, and I see the imperial attitude of our current government and our current head of state. And then you compare that with the servant's heart of Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln. I mean, you could look at the leaders whom we consider great. Somewhere we got this idea of an imperial presidency. And yes, he should have respect as a head of state and the position he holds, but he who would lead must be a servant to all. And that's the attitude you're looking for.
Well, and see, that brings up the point of how do we select people for leadership. First of all, I've always found that the people that are most reluctant to be in leadership because they know the responsibilities, those are probably the people we're looking for, as opposed to the ones, oh, sure, I'll take it, you know, because I like the money, I like the fanfare, and so forth and so on. No, but do you like the responsibility? Because as 2 Samuel 23 says, he who rules must rule in the fear of God or he'll be judged.
Amen.
Well, you know, I've never aspired to leadership in my whole life. It just always seems to come on me. And Shakespeare, I believe it was, talked about leadership and the different types of leaders that there are. I mean, there have been many writers who said that. Some people are just, you know, they're born leaders. Some people are made leaders. And some people just kind of have it thrust upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm telling people, don't deny what the Lord wants to do, raising up simple folks. I mean, the Gideon army. And that's how America really was started. I mean, on Lexington Green, we're talking about the Gideon army. And interestingly enough, the Patriot pastor, Jonas Clark, that's the sermon that he gave the night before the Battle of Lexington, coming from Judges 6 and 7.
I used to ask
Pastor Lear. Oops, I'm sorry, Pastor Wayne. Pastor Lear, Don, are you still on? Can you hear?
Yes.
I think we need to, I think it would be great on our national calls to have Pastor Lear comes on, because, I mean, I'm just listening here, and I am so encouraged already of his reminders. But also, Pastor Lee, while you and Mr. Pastor Wayne was talking, I was thinking of these words, and I'm probably not quoting the exact words out of the scripture, but it's fear the one who kills the soul, who can kill the soul. And I think of another scripture about it's better to hang a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the depths of the sea than to, you know, lead these little ones to stumble. And I'm thinking to myself, these legislators that are making these laws or bills that would really really set the children in the wrong direction, they just do not know the gravity of their actions.
Well, they don't. You know, you're raising a very huge point here. I mean, most of the people that are in positions of great authority, including in the business community. I mean, some of the bad decisions that are being made in banking and in education, in government, in medicine and so forth and so on. I mean, talk to some of the doctors. I had a debate with two doctors a couple of weeks ago. One is a radiologist, another a pulmonologist. And I said, okay, guys, give it to me straight. You know, let's cut to the chase here. You're real happy with Obamacare and whatever else? And they both looked at each other, and then they looked at me, and they said, no, we're not. I said, oh, why not? Because you can't actually exercise medical arts, because now you're going to be bean counters and you can't really do what you need to do to help your patients, whatever. And they nodded their heads like, you got it, you know. And so the issue is, in quoting the scripture that you have, Miss Diana, what about this? What is the beginning of wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Now, when we think of fear, not knee-knocking, trembling, oh, I better watch out, if I don't dress right, God will smite me with leprosy. No, not that. Recognizing that God is awesome, that he is holy and righteous, that his judgments are true and righteous in all his judgments. And so that's the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have that, you're not going to be wise. You're not going to make wise decisions. No wonder these bankers are messing up, because they don't know the Lord and they don't have wisdom. No wonder why these people are messing up in medicine and messing up in education. They're not wise people, because they failed miserably in the first thing that qualifies them for wisdom. And it's amazing how the Lord can take somebody, some simple person. It just popped into my mind, you know, about George Washington Carver, for example, going before the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to understand the universe. Well, little man, you're not going to be able to understand the universe, because only I do. But, hey, go study the peanut. And he went and studied the peanut and 2,000 compounds. He learned wisdom. The wisdom is the fear of God. And until that happens, and I told the people that gathered, the great patriots and everything else that gathered, and they said they're great constitutionalists, I said, you're going to have a hard time convincing the patriot pastor that you're a great patriot and that you're a proponent of the Constitution, because you don't believe the Declaration. There would be no Constitution without the Declaration.
The foundation. Yes, it's the foundation stone. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. You weren't rude.
I just want to finish one point here.
Apologize.
What is one phrase that is absolutely essential, that we have been endowed by our Creator.
Amen.
Without that, it's nothing. And by the way, you're not rude, Pastor Wayne. If everybody was as rude as you, we'd have a universal politeness in America.
Well, thank you, sir. But I just, yes, it's just you start going, and it's like my mind starts going, because it's just like triggering so many things, you know. It's like I'm about to bust, and I'm drinking in what you're saying. But you're so right, because, you know, the Declaration is the foundation stone. You know, they talk about the Declaration not being the Constitution, but without the Declaration, the Constitution is just a piece of paper. And if you don't have a fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, our whole system falls apart. You know, without a fear of God, without godly morality, what Adam Smith called rational self-interest becomes greed. And the free enterprise system falls apart because capitalism, I hate that term because it's a Marxist term, but capitalism without morality is just raw greed, and that's why you have Bernie Madoff. When you have our system of government without a fear of God looking over your shoulder, our leaders without a fear of God looking over your shoulder, that's what causes despots and tyranny. Because then, you know, instead of having God big G, you have a bunch of God's little G running around Washington, D.C. or wherever, making decisions divorced of any anchor of morality or truth beyond what their own selfish desires are. And I thought, one more point, Diana, real quick, and I don't want to feel, but one more point. You want to know what's wrong with our system, and you were talking about leadership, and you look at the great leaders in American history. Washington, all he wanted to do was go back to Mount Vernon and retire, but he kept getting pulled back in because, as Flexner said, he was the indispensable man. Lee, who tried to retire, was offered command of both armies during the American Civil War, but could not stay out of it because he was too important. His talents were too great, and reluctantly drawn into a conflict he wanted no part of, but duty dragged him. Compare that with what what passes for leadership today. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars on campaigns to win an office that pays, $200,000 to $300,000 a year plus benefits? Instead of being self-effacing, we expect candidates to get up on television and tell us how great they are. And you know, my grandpa always said, you know, if you're really good or great, you don't have to tell anybody. People know. But our whole political system flies in the face of that. And then we wonder why we get the quality of leadership we have.
Well, and one of the things that occurs to me while you were speaking, Pastor Wayne, is that look at George Washington, John Adams, second president, and Thomas Jefferson, and then
hello?
Pastor Lear, did we lose you? Okay, we lost him for just a moment.
What I was saying is that all of those first presidents through quite a number of generations had one thing very much in common, besides their faith in Christ. They also, and even Thomas Jefferson, by the way, for the naysayers, they all put themselves in harm's way as they led. Today,
Amen. We've
got so many of them, they'll throw everyone else under the bus to protect themselves. That is not a true leader. And see, where do we learn leadership from? Jesus led even to his own, in a sense, destruction. He went to the cross. He gave himself for us. And true biblical leadership, true Christian leadership, is the willingness to put others first.
Amen.
Instead of putting them as a pile that you can stand on so you can get higher up. See? And this is where we're... And it's satanic. That satanic leadership is we sacrifice everybody and everything, you know, for our own policies. That's the kind of leadership we're getting now. And it's corrupt. It's worse than corrupt. It's satanic. And it doesn't keep with what America is. Those people that signed that Declaration of American Independence, they led, I think, for example, about Dr. Joseph Warren. And we've got Bunker Hill Day coming up soon. I'll be down there. Dr. Joseph Warren was an extremely important man, both as a physician that he was, but also as the chairman of the Committees of Correspondence. But he was also a brigadier general. And he decided, in the militia, and he decided that he wanted to go and be in the battle. He was in the battle about 5 minutes, and the British shot him. They, of course, were so bad to us, they threw bodies in piles and mass graves. See, tyrants do that.
Yes.
True godly people never do that. You don't treat human beings like they're trash, but that's what the British did to us. Mass graves and so forth and so on, because they thought we were trash. How dare we rebel against them? See? Well, that's what we're facing today. We're getting the same attitude out of Washington. How dare you? Just keep working. Send your money in. Don't say anything. Don't question anything. And we'll give you whatever that we want to give you, and you're going to like it. Well, that doesn't go very well with a lot of Americans, does it? I hope
Pastor,
it doesn't.
It doesn't, and that's what Don is fighting for. And I really, you know, when you were saying that about inalienable rights, and I was thinking to myself, right now, if I remember right, it's among, that word among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And I'm thinking among, you know, what we're fighting for is that right for parents to have authority, you know, in education. And that is what we're seeing is, you know, really being assaulted right now. And Don, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I agree with you. That is the assault. It's the assault on the family. We see it in so many other areas. And so much of this comes back to the assault on not just the principles of this country, but the principles of this country were also based on the idea of family, mother and father and children. And so in every direction, if you look, to see whatever the mitigating factor is for every one of these really bad policies, it goes back to the complete destruction of the family. And what we see in Common Core is a huge highlight of that. That's the, you know, these people are actually saying, you know, your kid comes to my school, he's no longer part of your family, he is my property. And, you know, if we don't stop it, that's the way we're going to go. There's no, the interesting thing about all of this stuff is that it's not a new idea. And Pastor Lear said this at the very beginning. You know, this has been tried. These types of policies always fail, and it's been tried over and over again. You know, if people want us to look like North Korea or even Russia today or Cuba, then keep going down this road. But I got to assume that most people emigrated here for, you know, the obvious reasons. Oh, yeah, the idea of liberty and prosperity.
And not being the personal property of the government. And see, the issue in Don, I think that's, you know, so great what you're saying, because the issue of parental rights is not something that governments can establish or take away. That's God-given. So it's a matter of recognizing those rights. And what's the difference between us as Americans? The government's supposed to belong to us, a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And if you're a British citizen, you're a British subject. You're a subject of the crown. The government doesn't belong to you. You belong to the government. And so if the government says you have to do this and you have to do that for us as Americans, and see, there are too many people that have accepted that they belong to the government. No, not in America, not by our foundation, because if the government doesn't belong to us, then we've lost our representative government, and we cannot have influence on there. And, of course, will the time come where people say, well, you know, just do it for me. It costs too much money to have elections and, you know, and go through all the voting and everything. So we'll just go in there and do it for us.
I can tell you one thing.
I don't want that, and I don't think anyone on this call today wants that. I know you don't. That's what we're fighting for. And so, as Samuel Adams said, who was considered the father of the War for American Independence, the last of the great Puritans, they said, it doesn't take a majority to prevail. And this is huge. What a prophetic statement at the time, and he understood. It doesn't take a majority to prevail. It takes an irate minority willing to set brush fires in men's minds. That's what we're doing, isn't it? All of us that are on this call, we're not looking for the majority. You know, the majority out there in many cases are just happy sitting on the sofa being told what to do and doing it. But for those people who understand what liberty and freedom is about, because as 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, and depending on what translation you read it in, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Well, the converse is true. Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there isn't freedom. There isn't liberty. And some people don't care. But there are some people out there, and they're the ones that we need to get to, I would suggest. The ones that have ears to hear, eyes to see, who really want to be involved. And I'm getting tremendous opportunities to mentor people, a variety of different ages, who said, you know what, like the sons of Issachar, I want to know what I need to do. So, well, I can't tell you what you need to do. I can only encourage you to go to the Lord and ask him how he's gifted you, what he wants you to do. But I can tell you what, you know, whatever your gifting is, there's plenty of room for you in this army, lots of room. And not everybody's called to stand in front of the abortion mill. Some people are, some aren't. Some are called to speak at tea parties and to gather people together for that. There's no end to the opportunities the Lord has, even just like if you live in a little town like this, like I do, tomorrow to go out, and already the police chief has called me up and says he's going to go picket it tomorrow. He's one of my Bible students. He says, I'm going to go picket this Van Jones thing. Whoa, I guess I got through. See?
Wow.
Praise the Lord. But it's all body parts. And,
yeah.
You know, if we're not all called to be hands or toes or elbows. And you know, the body, you know, some of us are even called to be armpits. And we need our armpits, too. It's all a part of the body. Well, the point is where you're at, labor, and don't knock the other body part because it isn't doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Well,
you know?
I have never in my life heard anyone say anything quite like that. Some of us are called to be armpits, and I almost said something crazy like, yeah, and some of us are called to be hairy armpits.
That's
not
true.
Not the two sisters on this call, I presume, but, you know, although there are some that work in health food stores, you know, that they're natural, so they don't cut hair or anything. But, you know, that's true. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather be an armpit in God's army than sit on the throne of the emperor of a man's government, you know.
Amen.
I didn't want to get this point. Maybe this is an opening from God since y'all brought this up.
We don't want to go into the
emperor.
Really?
Well, how can we tell that the emperor is naked in this situation? Our president pro tem of our Senate, just out of the blue, says, I'm going to pull a bill because, you know, I haven't done my homework. Isn't there somebody that can say to him, oh, wait a second, isn't there something wrong with this? I mean, how in the world do we deal with something like that? The emperor is naked. You're not doing your job. Somebody says your job is to facilitate, not dictate.
Well, I can tell you what I've seen happen many places and many times and been involved in it myself. I mean, first of all, you flood their offices with phone calls.
Yeah.
You flood their offices with letters and postcards. Postcards are really better than letters, you know, where you say, don't do this. You know, find some people that have some influence. And this is important, too. We do need to encourage those that are amongst us who have some influence, and to back them up, and the ones that have the ear of those people that are in leadership. There's many ways to let them know, and what I'm telling people is it's time to play hardball. I mean, no more wiffle ball. You know, no more nice guy. I mean, by the way, there's nothing in Scripture that says be nice. There's lots of places in Scripture that says stand your ground, be truthful, be honest, be firm. I mean, you can be loving, and here's the way that I think is loving. Telling a fool, we've just had, you know, the high holiday of atheists, which is the 1st of April. That's April's Fool's Day, because only a fool believes in his heart there's no God, so that's the high holiday. You're warning them because you love them. You don't want to see them perish. You don't want to see them under judgment. You know, and the way to do that, I mean, there are little old ladies that can get through to some of these people better than some, you know, rugged tough guy. There's ways, and the Holy Spirit will show us. That's why it's very important to be submitted. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. Stay in the Word and see how, you know, look when the Apostle Paul was before the Agrippa and Bernice. And, you know, he said to him, you know what? If you hadn't applied to Caesar, I was going to let you go. I was going to let you go, but you applied to Caesar, and, you know, so off to Caesar, I've got to let you go because you applied to a higher jurisdiction than I have here, but I was going to let you go. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. See? And so when we read this in Scripture, we say, well, is that something that somebody else can do and I can't do that? Of course you can. You can make phone calls. You can go there and sit in the guy's office. Sit there, and when the day's over, and they say, well, you're going to have to leave now. No, actually, I came. I was planning to camp out. I was planning to stay overnight here. Well, you can't do that. Well, I'm going to, because I really need to get this information through. Can you set that meeting up? And I mean, it's what we call an imprecatory prayer. In old New England, we call it here, don't take no for an answer.
That's right. Bottom line is they work for us. Sometimes we have to remind them of that. Make the system work.
Well,
and have fun doing it. Have fun doing it. Some people have fun doing it. The part of the attitude, no wonder sometimes some of these guys don't want to listen, some of these leaders don't want to listen because they get chewed out so badly and everything else. you know, from people that they stay away from, you know. So there's a way of doing it, just saying, I really need to see you, and don't threaten them or whatever else. Say, I'm sure that you really want to do your best, and I'm here to help you, you know. And you start off, I try to treat everyone as my friend until they prove themselves not to be a friend. Which sometimes people do that in the first 3 or 4 minutes, they've proven they're not my friend. But we give them the benefit of the doubt, said, well, I'm here, I need to talk to you. And I'm not going away anytime soon. And by the way, and I've had to say this, I remember years ago at meet at the pole, you know, in September when that first started, and my children were in a government school at the time, elementary school, and I said to the principal, you know, we're going to, you know, we want to do this. Oh, no, you can't do that. Well, yes, we can. No, you can't. You're the only one that wants to do it. I've heard that how many times? You're the only one that thinks this way. And so I said, may I ask you to stand up for a minute? Okay, what? Look out that window. See the parking lot? Tomorrow morning at this time, I'll have 1,000 people in the parking lot with the news media, and they will be out there to tell you this. Garrett Lear is not the only one who thinks this way. So do you want to do that? You would do that? Absolutely, I will.
But, you know, okay. Pastor, sometimes it's not a bad thing to be the only one who thinks that way, particularly if you're right. I always think of lemmings. You know, when we talk about going with the crowd and everybody's doing it, I used to tell my kids, remember the lemmings. And if those of you don't remember, the listeners don't remember the lemming, it's an old Disney wildlife flick which talks about the lemming. Little rodent-like, mouse-like creature lives up in near the Arctic Circle, and every so often they get in a panic and they run off cliffs into the sea. Now, who's the lemmings that survive? The ones that don't panic and run off with the crowd.
That's true.
And so sometimes being by yourself isn't a bad thing.
Well, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think that sometimes the issue is, if none will follow, still I will follow. I mean, that's our commitment with the Lord. There is no group salvation plan. You know, we don't enter into the heavenly gates in crowds or even families. It's individuals. So I think we have to have that bravura in our heart, that courage in our heart, that Christian conviction that the Lord puts there to say, if none others will join me, then I'll be out there by myself. But I just sometimes passed away, and I just love to see the look on their faces when they, you could have 1,000 people out there tomorrow morning in the parking lot.
Well,
I don't want that. I don't want to have to answer that. And just, I just like the look on their faces sometimes.
Oh, sure.
Of course, then
well,
again, if they say,
that's even better.
I was just going to say, but when you say it, you better be able to get the 1,000 together.
That's true.
Well, I think, Don, you know, you started off something we didn't know who was going to come. And, you know, what Pastor Lear just reminded me of that, Don.
Absolutely. I mean, we still don't know.
Yeah, we still don't know, do we?
We got more than you and me.
Every day.
You mean when somebody says, Don, how many people are you expecting? Well, at least one. What do you mean?
I've always said that.
I'll be there. And, you know, I mean, people ask, and of course, when you're in a big venue, I mean, it may be more likely. Here in Little New Hampshire and some of the colonial areas here in New England, you know, people say, well, how many did you have? Oh, we had 700 for that rally. 700? Is that all? You know, we could, in Atlanta, we get 7,000. Yeah, well, this ain't Atlanta. You know, it's as simple as that. So, but the main thing is, I always tell people, but the good news is this, I was there.
I mean, 700, that's half the population in Nevada, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Christina about that, I think yesterday, that we're sort of always of the opinion that, you know, even if you won't stand up and fight, we still are. We fight for us,
Amen.
Our families, and for you and your families. And
there you go.
That's never going to change.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I always say somebody's got to tell the emperor he's naked. That one little boy had the guts to stand alone.
Somebody's got to risk their head to tell the emperor that he's naked.
That's right.
That's what you do.
Well, isn't it nice, Pastor Lear? And because it's been nice, because I think Dawn and me, I mean, we've been finding out there's a lot of them out there, Dawn. And so, you know, we're so grateful for the opportunity. But Pastor Lear, I think Dawn, he needs to come, don't you think? And encourage us all.
Absolutely.
I'm honored to serve. And I always have this axiom. For some reason, being the fact that I have in my ancestry, one of my great-grandmothers was 4'8" and weighed 85 pounds, and here I am 6'7", and I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh. But I weigh a pretty good amount. Why did the Lord make me tall? You know, so I can stand out in a crowd, and I believe that in some respects, when one man stands up, or that's a generic terminology, when one woman stands up or one man stands up, he or she, in that case, stiffens other men's spines. So that's one of the callings that we have. Lexington was locked down. 25 square miles around Boston was locked down. But the Lord showed me what to do, and the Lord gave me favor. I went in, did what I was going to do, and got in my vehicle and drove out and went and picked up my grandson and went home. See? People said, how did you do that? I said, well, I just knew the Lord wanted me to be there, and he showed me what to do, and I did what he asked me to do, and he navigated me through the streets, so to speak, got me in and got me out. Other people couldn't get in, other people couldn't get out, but I think we're going to see more of this and look to the Lord for this, you know, and I'll say this to Dawn, to Miss Diana, to you, Pastor Wayne. We're going to see more difficulty.
Yeah.
But always, what does the Lord say? When these things come to pass, look up to the hills from whence cometh thy salvation.
Yeah.
The Lord is on the throne. He's not caught in derision. Fret not yourself, as Psalm 37:1 says, fret not yourself for evildoers. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. We've got to keep our eyes on God's plan, on his design, and not put nearly as much. I don't spend time studying the enemy. I spend time studying the ways of the Lord. And that,
amen,
in that scripture that I read from 1 Chronicles, that was about that too.
Wow, thank you. What a great reminder. And with that in mind, I'd like to just share this, Pastor Lear, because I don't know if you've heard this. You know, this fight against Common Core in our state, they're saying that Del Marsh has been saying, well, haven't received a lot of phone calls from, you know, people with children. And of course, our superintendent of education is saying, you know, this is the best thing since sliced bread, and it's just going to be so great for the children. But what they're not paying attention to is the fact that there's people out there, and there it is, 1,539 New York principals are rising up against this. They are crying about the effects of Common Core on the students and on the teachers. So there's fixing to be a tsunami, and it's not, New York's not alone. We're hearing it all over, but see, they're so full of themselves that they're not paying attention. It's like they think they live in an island. But anyway, with that in mind, Pastor Lear, would you mind closing us in prayer?
I would be thrilled. Father, we thank you that you have created us unto good works. We thank you that you've sent your Son. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come. No power of hell or darkness stopped you from your victorious march to the cross, your death and your resurrection. We're so thankful for that. We're also thankful, Lord, that you have made a way for us to be useful in this life and to give you glory. Thank you for this program. Thank you, Lord, for helping us in all the ways that we are looking at and many of the things that we haven't even seen yet. We're going to see your glory revealed in ways through simple folks in simple faith who just trust you. And you've told us, come boldly before your throne of grace in our time of need, and you will strengthen us. I thank you for that. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. In your name, Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Lear. And with that,
my
pleasure. Thank you, Dawn. Don, do you have another word for Pastor Lear before we let him go?
Just thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for always being such a strong leader. Thank you for uplifting me today. Thanks for always being on the side of right. That may seem trite to other people, but it is huge.
Oh, that's precious. Thank you so much for saying that. I that means a lot to me, Don. Really
thank
does.
You, Pastor Lear. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Wayne Wood. If you don't mind, Pastor Wayne, would you close the sir and get the last words in?
I get the last word. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we close out for the weekend. Also, remember, we're fighting this not only on state level, but Congress is taking it up. Charles Grassley has gotten involved on Common Core about stopping funding. I think we need to write our congressmen, our women, and let them be aware of Common Core. And, Dawn, you've had a petition circulating for Congress, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And also, we need to get on board and write personal letters as well, because they'll pay attention to those personal letters as well as petitions. So get your congressman. A lot of folks don't even realize we can hit this with funding. There's several different fronts we can attack this on, and we need to keep pushing and pressing. Continue at the state level, but also fight this at the federal level. I believe a lot of these federal programs, like Obamacare, they're going to fall on their own weight because they were poorly conceived, poorly written, and are being poorly executed. And so, but we don't need to rest. We need to keep going on. And also remember doing our Bible study on the weekend podcast of 13 Men Who Changed the World. And so I'll be broadcasting that at 11 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Central, sorry, 11 o'clock Central, and it'll be available on podcast by Sunday. So God bless.
Oh, Pastor Wynn, I'm sorry, I need to mention this. Go to our website, www.cityonhill.tv, and we do have a little widget for you to click on and get on board with that petition that Don has started. And so we need to do that. It's regarding trying to get our, you know, House of Representatives and really senators to get in line and defund this. So I just want to mention that I've forgotten to do that. And I have a chance to be on the radio today, Pastor Wayne, another radio show at 6 o'clock p.m., and we're going to be talking about Common Core, and it's going to be in our area on 93.7. So there's an opportunity for those that have not really heard about Common Core to get their earful, and hopefully they'll become involved. So thank you, listeners, and may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you and be encouraged. God is in his throne. Goodbye.